Hello, Euphorians. We're so stoked to be here today because we're joined by a very special guest. His recent credits include work on A24's Everything Everywhere All at Once, Netflix's Blonde, and Olivia Wilde's Don't Worry, Darling. Please welcome to That's So Euphoric, prop master, Josh Brammer.
Yeah, Josh. Yes. And Josh is on the job right now, so he's remote. But yes, we are so thankful to have you. You're our actual first guest of season two, so we're super stoked. But that being said, we just want to dive right in. We just want to hear the basics. All of our fans and listeners have written in, I kid you not, almost daily, sending us your TikToks of all the props that you show.
Oh my gosh, I'm super new to making TikToks too, so I don't even, half the stuff that I try to post gets taken down because it has stuff that goes against their community guidelines.
Oh,
so I'm like,
yeah,
I don't even know what to post.
Shocker. Yeah, Euphoria. Yeah. You're bullshit. Yeah. Damn, well, that's so funny. Yeah, no, you kill it. Everyone loves it. So that's literally how we found you. So thank you again for joining us. But
yeah, no problem.
We just wanted to get the basics of, for our listeners, just describe what is the job of a prop master, and more specifically, what is your role on the set of Euphoria daily?
Well, I try to usually summarize a prop master's job as we're basically in charge of anything that an actor physically touches on a film set. So if they're picking up a phone, paying with cash, firing a weapon, or just anything in general, anything that they physically pick up, we have to source and we break down the script and kind of get the mood of what the director wants. But, and, generally it's kind of called out in the script, but 9 times out of 10, we have to think outside the box. If it's a big scene with lots of extras, they all got to be doing something. And
yeah,
usually actors they like that motivation. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. So Sam seems like he's a pretty detail oriented guy. When you're working with him, does he give you very specific requests where he has something really particular in mind, or do you have a little more freedom to interpret his requests?
Well, when I first got hired, I sat down with Sam, and I was a little bit starstruck because I loved the first season. So talking to him about what he wanted to see in the show, he just was I want it to feel real. I want it to feel like these are, their props are things that they'd actually have. And as far as the freedom with what I would do is, it was a lot of collaboration. But Sam, if I ever had to show Sam an option, it was, which one's my favorite. And I always had a favorite. I always, picked it based on the character, or I would always ask the actors too, what would you like to use in this scene? Or would your character have this? Or would you have that? And they usually say, whatever, it doesn't bother me. So I'd always have something that I picked. So most of the props you see are something that I, came up with. So
that's what we always hear, is that everyone on set is super, everyone collaborates, all teams. So do you work very closely with costume as well as the set decorators, I assume?
Yep. Heidi, our costume designer, she's amazing. She has color palettes for each actor. So we usually will, for when Cassie was coming down the stairs with her suitcase, I had 6 different options. I showed them to Sydney, and she would be like, I like this one. And then, I cross-reference with Heidi, and, she's like, oh, that would be great. And so it's always about kind of creating a color palette. We don't want her to have a neon yellow one when her costume is a light purple. And of course, we don't want to have her have purple because that belongs to Maddie's character. So it's, we try to stay in different realms, and
cross. That's so awesome.
Cross with makeup, but didn't really have to do a lot with Donnie, but there was the scene where Rue was drawing on the face with the Sharpie, and that was, I had to come up with an idea to make it so that she could actually write on her face with a Sharpie. So
important.
I don't want to have to scrub. I don't want to have to scrub Sharpie off my face. I'm like, no, you won't.
We've been there. That's not ideal.
Well, especially with all the makeup they wear too. I bet. No, thank you.
Sydney, she has very sensitive skin, so we have to always be aware of, if she's going to be putting on suntan lotion, or even in the scene where she was scrubbing her face and doing her makeup routine, I had bought a lot of stuff for that, really high-end things, but it inevitably to Sydney calling her boyfriend and having him bring all of her actual stuff she uses at home to set. More comfortable with it. And I was totally on game with that because it's, I mean, I don't go through a skin routine like she does. And if she knows what's good for her, she knows what's good for her.
Yeah. And that skin routine was like 4 hours deep. So that's so funny.
An abrasive pad or something. I didn't want her to, like, you know, she was gonna have to do that over and over. It's better if she knows what she's using on her face. So
for sure. That's so cool.
Nice. So from watching your TikToks, it seems like sometimes you're like going out in the real world to like source material, but other times you're crafting stuff on set. What was your favorite thing you crafted this season, and what was your favorite thing you sourced?
Kind of tough. So take your time.
I loved making the gift from Cassie to Maddie, the photo album. That was something that was, I didn't know even where to begin. And just talking to Sydney about it, it was, you know, she's an avid crafter. She likes to scrapbook. She likes to make things. So I kind of went with that, and I just, you know, started getting all these great papers. And even, they didn't really showcase the box, but I had like the present, like gift wrap, like the interior had marijuana leaves on the inside and this like, psychedelic, like on the outside. It was really freaking cool.
Yes. That's awesome.
I love the dad ass sticker that had me cracking up.
I was super nervous, and I showed it to Sam and Zendaya, and they were like, okay, you're like in the mind of Cassie right now. I don't understand. This is great. And they're like flipping through it and laughing at every page, and all the pictures in there were from the cast and like things that they, so it was a really fun experience. And Sydney loved it. She was like over the moon with it. It's like every time I'd show her the progress, she's like, oh my god, I love it. So
yeah, that's so cool, because I was just telling Alex before we started, like, that must be so amazing to see something that you actually created in such like an emotional scene in like the top show right now.
Right. Yeah. And the genuine reaction that Alexa had when she was doing it, that was a lot of the stuff was the first time she'd seen it. Oh. Along with her cake. She'd never even seen her cake. She actually sent me the photo for the cake. And when she saw it for the first time, that was like her general, like, oh my gosh, because it was a great cake.
That's, yeah, that was a fantastic cake. That's so cool. From
Hanson's Bakery. They're kind of like midtown a little bit. They do like all the Kardashians cakes and stuff. So they were super excited. They're like, who is this?
Perfect for Alexa.
Yeah, exactly. That was, they added like gems around it. Like Alexa wouldn't want anything else but a nice cake like that. So
I love that. And then as far as like a sourced item, was there anything that you like, a brand you worked with or?
We worked with a lot of brands. The Tiffany necklace that Nate gives her, that was kind of a, like when I approached Sam about it, I'm like, what present? What is Nate going to be wrapping for her in the kitchen? And he was like, you know, I just picture like a Tiffany & Company like blue box. I'm like, okay, Tiffany & Company necklace. So then we have an amazing product placement person who, you know, set it all up. I went to Tiffany & Company in Beverly Hills and we picked out the necklace. And we just wanted to do something simple. And I also coordinated with Donnie and Heidi, our costume designer.
Yeah.
About it. It was interesting.
That's like, okay. So cool.
It feels very right for his character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, like typical high school, like,
yes, you
know, the return to Tiffany necklace. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's a good choice. So it was fun like that. And
I love that.
Yeah. It was like a sweet moment. And then then we had to track whether it was going to be on Sydney or Alexa, like going back and forth, because we ended up, the typical way we shot the show is block shooting or crossboarding. So like all the episodes, we shot them in two different blocks, and the first four episodes were one block, the last four were another. So we'd have to kind of bounce around with what they were doing. So
I love that. So much attention to detail. It's so cool. We can't not ask, like, you're probably so annoyed of hearing about this, but our listeners do not stop asking us about the damn Jacob's family portrait. Have you heard a lot about that? Are you like surprised by the hype around that?
I mean, I am, but it's also kind of like I honestly don't know myself, which I mean I do know some things, but it's kind of fun to have it almost be like a secret, because it literally is everywhere. It's like, who is this brother? Mm-hmm. But it's like,
well, we have a theory. We have a fan theory.
So Up until like very recently, we had just always assumed that Nate was the middle brother, but a fan wrote into us recently and pointed out that we now know that the age gap between Nate and Aaron is 7 years, which would make Nate the youngest brother in the photo, not the middle brother. Do you have any comments on that? Can you confirm or deny which brother Nate is?
I'm it's like okay. almost having one of those like you think of a memory and yeah, like where you have that memory, like you know something's like the Berenstain Bear kind of thing. Like yes. the whole time I'm like, I swear we shot a breakfast episode and there was Nate and his two brothers. So I was like, that kind of explains it, but it hasn't came out yet. So that'll clear it up. And then I watched it back. I'm like, wait, it was just Nate and his brother. I'm like, where is his third brother? So I honestly don't really know.
Yeah, it's okay. We figured you did it, but we had to ask. Is it?
Yeah, no, it's.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure it'll come up.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, is it like a Photoshop photo or is it a real?
In the next season or something.
I'm so sorry. I think
we're... Nope, that was a photo that was taken.
Oh, okay. Oh,
can you hear me?
Nice. Yeah. I'm glad that they took her portrait like that.
It was
like
taken in the first season.
That's so funny.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, now just like deep diving into some of the props. So we have to talk about the drugs. Like, where the hell do you even all get fake stuff. Drugs?
Well, it's crazy because the fake drugs have been around for a long time. We have there's a couple medical prop houses that exist in Los Angeles, and one of them's A1 Medical, and they are like the go-to company for anything related to the medical industry, and they actually have off-the-shelf kind of placebo pills. They're manufactured for them. It's got all the ingredients, and the actors are able to see what they're taking. I mean, it's not just like a here, pop this in your mouth kind of thing. So it's you have to have it approved. So yeah, it's also like a, especially when they're actually doing the drugs, it's kind of sensitive, and obviously someone doesn't want to have to inhale that stuff all day long, so we try to cut around it and as much as possible, because it can, you know, inhaling something like a powder like that can cause, you know, sinus infections if you do enough. I think that happened to Jonah Hill on Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He got a sinus infection. He had to go to the hospital because of the stuff that he was inhaling. Oh, so we have to always monitor that and make sure that what they're doing is, you know, at least safe for human consumption, and they're not doing too much of it, because it can halt production if our main actor is going down because they get sick.
Yeah. Which must be hard with Zendaya because she's doing a lot of
press. Yeah, and it's that is the thing.
That's
I know we do shoot around a lot of that stuff too, if some of the cuts, so it's good to kind of, you know, they kind of go around it, but it's still there, and it's very commonplace. I mean, it's you almost become desensitized to a lot of this stuff when yeah. it's like, oh, drugs, okay, cool, we'll get that, we got this crushed up stuff, right? It's part of our kits.
Yeah, for sure. That's so funny.
When you're acquiring like non-pharmaceutical drugs, what is your point of reference to make sure that they're accurate and like look like real illicit drugs that are out in the world?
I mean, there's like this, I think, an app called like Pill Finder, so you can kind of just look up like the general color, like the A1 Medical, they supply basically every color. So you can basically, you know, just it'll look the same, but it's not the same. So they, you know, especially if they're not doing an insert, and if there's an insert shot of like some sort of drug that they're doing, they'll typically, they have like some sort of like just a little bit off kind of things, because obviously copyright infringement wouldn't allow them to actually have the, we don't want those things out in the public. So it's tricky. A lot of the, oh no. An air conditioner just fired up.
That's okay. You're totally good. Yeah, because we were cracking up at your TikTok where you're like cranking out the drugs on that like machine or whatever.
Yeah, that was it got to be a, like, sometimes we needed specific colors, and I just have like a pill, it's called a pill press, and you use them for like supplements and stuff, so we were able to create some colors that were specific that you couldn't find.
That was an interesting
thing to learn how to do and add it to my
add it to your resume.
Yeah.
Pill pressing.
onto the guns. when you're looking for something real specific, like the ivory handle, like Ladysmith revolver, do you have to go out and find something like that, like in the world, and then adapt it to be safe for use on set?
Well, we have there's a prop house that I have used for years. They're Independent Studio Services. They're located in Sunland, California. And they are the go-to place for any type of blank firing weapon. They have everything that you can think of, and they're all made safe for the film industry. Mm-hmm. And that was just one of the options that they had. And when I was discussing with Sam about what we would have for her, and that was just, she just had this with Heidi's costumes and did the jewelry for the character for Nate's grandma. It felt fitting that she'd have something that was out of the ordinary. Yeah, and
it's a perfect,
fun experience trying to find it. Yeah, she was. And she was such a cool character. She was such a cool actress in real life. And getting to work with her, like, she was, you know, I was like, I want to have, like, she only thing she mentioned that she wanted to have a ring with a horseshoe. So I had to go and source horseshoe rings. And I went downtown to, like, the jewelry district and just kind of went crazy finding all her specific things and just had a plethora of them for her to choose from. And she just, it helped her build her character as this gangster grandma, and she definitely played it off really well.
Yeah, she killed it, and you killed it. The accessories were incredible. Like, we were literally going that, so I'm glad you talked about that.
Yeah.
So on a lighter note, like on the side of no more drugs and guns, I feel like Euphoria is like super well known for its attention to detail when it comes to like the characters' bedrooms, their houses. Are you involved in that process of like decorating those, or is that really not in line with your position?
No, not really, unless it's a prop like in the room that she would or any of the characters would pick up. Typically that's our set decorator, whose name is Julia. She's amazing. Okay. One of my really good friends. I'm gonna go have coffee with her tomorrow.
Awesome.
And then our production designer, Jason, they collaborated, and they would just make these places. The thing that I loved about Julia's style of decorating sets, it has so many layers. Like, if you walked onto the set, it felt like you were in someone's bedroom. And if you picked up like just anything, it's like it almost has a story behind every little piece, and I loved that about it. So when I would do props with it, it was almost like it was, everything was incorporated already. Mm-hmm. So I would talk to Julia, like, for if they were having a dinner scene, the plates, Julia would completely stock every kitchen that we were in. So all I had to do was open up a cabinet and pull out the plates, and then my job was to bring the food for Ali and Rue and her mom and to sit down and have dinner with. So that was, we kind of work hand in hand with collaborating on stuff. So we've all become really good friends. I'm really good friends with the art department. So it's, you know, we always have to make sure we're watching each other's backs. And if something's out of place, or they need some help with something, we usually have it, or they usually have it for me.
How did you decide what they were going to eat at dinner? was that a big process?
Kind of, not really. I mean, it's like when I'd be like, Sam, what are they eating? And he didn't really, you know, it's up to me, whatever you want, whatever you think they're having. So it's kind of, you just start with picking a main dish and then pick some sides. And then I bring in a food stylist prepares everything.
Mm.
And,
oh my gosh, how crazy.
Makes it look nice.
Yeah, they're shopping it. Yeah, they do all the shopping. And
well, and Coleman Domingo posted it. Did you see that, like, on his Insta story? He like posted a screenshot of that dinner. Literally, like,
really?
As a joke, we were like glad that he's screenshotting like the food that was eaten on the table.
Oh, nice. They enjoyed it. It was actually pretty good. I was in there with them, helping them cook everything too, like resetting what Storm was chopping and all that stuff. So it was fun to be in there watching them cook, watching him. He was just like slathering olive oil all over that roast. And we'd have to go back in there and clean it all up. But yeah.
Oh my that's god. Funny.
So did
they
you
always, they always get out a kick out of it.
That's so funny. Did you select all the knives that were removed from the Howard household? The big bowl of knives? Did you have to pick out like,
yes,
one?
I did. Yes. We
they had so many had damn knives.
Yeah, I had to find all, it basically came out of my kit, but I put a whole bowl together And it was so funny, like when, because Julia decorates the set, we were going through all of it and pulling everything we could. And I'm like, there's a lot of wine openers in this house. And if there's a lot of detail in the house too. If anybody, they don't really focus on it, but it's very wine themed. There's grapes everywhere. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Like going through the drawers, I'm like, she's gonna literally find, and that's how it kind of came into the script, was she's sitting on the floor with the wine opener, the one thing that's everywhere. They're like in the candy dishes, and so that,
I can't remove all the wine openers.
Yeah, no. And then I had to take all the knives and have them dulled just in case somebody was gonna brief their hand in there. So everything's got a no sharp points on it, and all the metal is basically flat, so you can't hurt yourself. So that was a that was a fun thing, and I kept showing it. Had to pick the bowl, had to find one that was good and had good weight to it, because too plastic and flimsy, it'll sag, and too heavy, she won't be able to carry it. So a lot goes into that kind of stuff, and
that's crazy.
Cool, you guys saw that.
Like I said, like our podcast, like, it's not just us, like, we can't even give ourselves the credit. Like, our listeners just DM us the craziest stuff, and we're like, oh, wow, like, what? But you need to tell your, the set decorator team, what was it, Julia, you said? Please, we are obsessed with the Howard House, Alex and I.
Yeah.
Like, the lighting in that house, the, like, hot air balloon lamp, and the
roller skate lamp, all the lighting.
Oh yeah,
it's a vibe.
It's gorgeous. I like. Yeah. I'll walk in there with her. I'm like, where did you guys? I want that. I want to take this home. I want this. Like, that's a one of a kind. Can't take that. I'm like, oh man,
that's so.
Whatever you're not using.
That's so awesome. Well, I have to, of course, ask the most awkward question. But do you have any involvement at all in the prosthetic dicks on Euphoria, or is that totally someone else?
They're no, like kind of actually, picked up.
Yeah, I have done them in the past on movies, but this one, no, I didn't have anything to do that. It was our prosthetic designer, Jason, who I worked with before in the past, and he actually did them on the Pam and Tommy movie as well.
Nice.
So
I thought that was interesting.
He got a reputation.
That's awesome.
So, and they... yeah, there was a lot of them, and it was, it was a fun experience. I didn't have to take care of them this time, so that was nice.
Good.
Slightly back to the guns, what is like a big scene, like the finale, like shootout, like what type of prep do you need to do for that? And like, what does your role on set like look like during a day like that, where there's so many involved?
Well, it's safety is the number one concern. We always, if there's any like hint or like if it just feels unsafe, we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that case for most guns, and it's always choreographed. So we're always rehearsing, and we want to make sure that everything is done in the safest manner. And with that, we have usually an armorer on set, and they'll for that instance, we had two. And it's all done in pieces, and it's a very, very choreographed. Every actor knows what's going on, and if there's ever a reason to cut, we always cut. If there's, you know, we don't safety protocols. So it's always the safest set. It can be scary for some people. I mean,
yeah,
for the longest time, I didn't like using guns, and it's not a fun experience for some. But I have my entertainment firearms permit. And I'm able to handle guns myself, and you know I practice with them, I rehearse with them myself. So it's all about being comfortable with it, and
of course,
you know, it's a lot of it's movie magic. So you have to, you know, it's those processes can take a while to film as well too. So I mean, it's
it definitely seems it seems like that would be pretty intense and
rigorous
scary to be on set during that, especially if you're like in Fez's position.
Animals.
I've read that so like we've asked about all the hardcore stuff. I've read that sometimes like animals are under the purview of a prop master. Do you deal with the animals on Euphoria at all?
Do we have animals? Oh, we have the birds and stuff.
His apartment.
Like episode 5, where there's like when Rue's running around and there's like a coyote and some dogs and some chickens.
No, we have the animal wranglers that will come in and bring the animals in. The only time I really coordinate with them, like, I got the collar for the dog and his dog tag. Nice. And for Lori's apartment, I had to get, I think at one point there was, I don't know if she was feeding birds. She was supposed to feed birds. So I got bird seed and I had to talk to them about that. And then I ended up getting, I got like fake fish for the fish tank because they, at one point, weren't sure if the fish were going to be in there, and they didn't want to have to bring an animal just to have the fish, because everything is, they're treated like actors on set. They have break times. They, you know, they take downtime, and
we got even fish.
fish are very tricky.
Everyone's like, cut.
Yeah, they need a break. Come on, guys. No, with the fish, like, you have to have the tank brought in, and the water has to be filtered for like a week, and then the fish have to acclimate to it. So it's kind of a tricky process when you're dealing with fish, because if you just drop the fish in a tank, they'd probably keel over because they're not used to the water and the temperature. So they have to go through almost a week long process to getting acclimated into that tank.
So it's a trick. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Do the fake fish that you mentioned, do they like move, or do they just kind of like bob up and down in the tank? Are they like mechanical?
No. Yeah, they were mechanical. They were like on a fishing line, and it kind of disappeared in the water, and then they just had this like little tail that would like move them around, and they'd swim around the tank. We never saw them on camera. It was just kind of if it was ever like out of focus in the background kind of thing. But those were fun to find. I hadn't found goldfish in a while like that. But it was, we have them here. It's Hollywood, so we have everything.
I love it.
Were there any props this season that were like particularly like troublesome, or like that just like were annoying or hard to deal with?
Nah, not too crazy. A lot of the times, like, something that would always be a tricky thing is if it doesn't exist, or if it's like a period. So a lot of our like flashback stuff, a lot of that had to be created for like the characters when, you know, they're anything that was like in the 90s or like the 80s, or it just, that takes a little bit more time versus like going to like a Target or a Walmart and finding something off the shelf, ordering online. You have to have it made and do a lot of sourcing, and you want it to be period specific and accurate so that it doesn't look, you know, out of place. So that can be fun. I actually really, really enjoy doing period stuff because of that. It kind of takes you out of your element, and you're able to, actually get out there and like source things and have things made. And I love creating. That's my outlet.
Is there a specific period you really like working in?
I like the like early 60s to the 70s. I've done a couple feature films that way, and it's so much fun. I have a couple movies coming out hopefully this year that take place in that time period. I have one for Netflix and one for New Line. So
nice. Awesome! That's so cool. Yeah, speaking of like movies, you were literally in the season of Euphoria in front of the camera. How was that? Was that so cool?
Yeah, it was fun because of COVID, ever since we've been back to work, we have to wear masks everywhere we're at. Like, thankfully there's no one around here right now, but we never get to see anybody's faces. So like at lunchtime, I'd usually be in my trailer because I can sit in there and enjoy it. But that's like the only time you get to see someone with their masks is when they're sitting down at lunch. So half of our crew, I didn't even know what they looked like until like that day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see your face, and we can see facial expressions. And that was so much fun, because it was like we're working, plus we're also acting in it, and we got to take our masks off.
Like, what a unique opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, that's so cool. That's so unique that you get to be like, I was on Euphoria.
<What's that>? Right? Yeah. It was fun. When we were filming it, it's such a weird thing too, because we were just like a regular crew working along, and now it's, Euphoria is everywhere. I can't turn a corner without hearing somebody talk about it, or
I know
a rumor they heard.
100%. We talk about that all the time. Like, when we started this podcast, it was just during quarantine out of like pure boredom and just love for the show, but it was such a niche audience, and now, like you said, it's like the whole world is watching Euphoria. Like, literally.
Yeah.
And if you're not, like, what are you doing?
I was just gonna say, like, I'm a big B-movie guy, and I know that Sam, like, inserts a lot of B-movie references into his work, and we noticed that you've also worked on a few B-movies, such as Bermuda Tentacle, Mecha Shark vs. Mega Shark, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No.
Oh my gosh.
We had to watch Sharknado 3 last night.
We had to. I'm not even gonna lie. We got, like, super stoned and watch it, and it made our night. Like, we had so much fun. We were dying. We were like, that must have been so much fun to work on.
that was like kind of like my lower budget days of filmmaking. And honestly, it was actually kind of fun to do because they traveled us out to Orlando, Florida. We like basically shut down Universal Studios to film on the roller coaster and the Twister ride. And it was a weird experience because we were almost like a sideshow side attraction in the park because they're like, oh my God, they're filming a movie here. And like they'd see the characters. I'm like walking around with chainsaws and people are screaming and yelling, going crazy.
It was like a huge cast. We were like dying. Yeah. Everyone's in this movie.
There's so many people in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, I remember we were filming on top of the, we actually got up on top of the Rock and Roller Coaster on the very top. And I remember Tara Reid had a cell phone because she was trying to, for some reason, off the ride, tracking her daughter or their daughter.
Yeah, that is what we can confirm. That's what was going on.
Yeah. And it was like 390 stairs up. I'm like, oh my gosh, she needs her cell phone up there. So I had to trek all the way up there. And I have like, I'm so afraid of heights. So I get up there and I'm like, hey, Tara, here's your cell phone. She's like, do I need this? I'm like, yeah, you need this phone. She's like hanging on like the railing, like I'm like, you're gonna drop that thing. I swear you're gonna knock somebody out. Like I'm done. I'm going back down. If the phone falls, I don't know what to do. I don't know why we're up here right now on the top of a roller coaster.
That is so funny.
That's super funny. So I have to ask, like, I'm a big nerd and I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for years, and I know you worked on that for a while. Like, there's so many fun props from that. Do you have like one that stands out or that was like your favorite?
I mean, I was that was basically my first show that I worked on as a union member in the industry, and the prop master on that, Scott Bauer, is one of my all-time favorite prop masters. I'm a huge Marvel fan. So just to be able to go on that set, I was like blown away. It was a dream, and it was like top secret, not allowed to have your phones, all the sides get shredded. So I was just like a kid in a candy store. And then on top of that, Scott's an amazing prop master. So watching him work and getting to work with him and his team and just seeing like all the futuristic guns and like the weaponry and everything that we're doing, this is why I like doing what I do, because I get to work with this kind of stuff. It was so exciting, and like the characters, the cars, the sets, it was just above par because it's a Marvel movie and it was Joss Whedon. So it was like it was a fun experience, and I didn't get to, that was kind of early in my career, so I would go over there and work like 3 or 4 days a week. And then it kind of started dwindling off when I started getting more movies. So it was like, it was almost like a treat when I'd get to go back and get to work on episodes. And every time I'd go back, they're like, hey, Josh, here's the scripts. Let's read them up and, you know, get you caught up so you know what we're filming today. So that was always exciting. I think I knew more about what was going on than most of the people because I love the show.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. That was such a fun show.
Yeah, I wish I'd want, that's my dream. My dream job would be to do a Marvel movie, and hopefully there's something in the wheelhouse. I hope that it, you know, something happens. I would be over the moon because I'd love to be
on it. We'd be over the moon. On it. That would be so cool.
One day.
Do you often get to keep props? Like, is that normal, or is it very much like when you're done, they're returned, you don't see them again?
Yeah, for the most part, it just depends. Like, if there's something that I've created, sometimes I'll make like a duplicate of it for myself, but use my own money. So it basically belongs to me. And if I've crafted it, I know how to make it. yeah, there'll be times where there's things that, you know, might fall off the shelf and get to keep, but not usually. We have to, if there's ever a chance for a reshoot or anything like that, we want to be prepared for it. So everything, once we wrap a show, it gets cataloged, photographed, and then it's put into bins. sadly, it's like I always say, and never to be seen again. Then I shut the lid, and it just gets put on the shelf.
Hopefully, it'll end up in a Jones warehouse.
Yeah, that's what it is. I have a movie that's coming out March 25th, and there's so many props in that. And I was hoping it's with the Daniels, Everything Everywhere All at Once. They did Swiss Army Man. And I remember
A24
movie.
I'm stoked to see that.
Yeah, it's I've already seen it. I literally could not stop smiling. It's such a good ride. The actors are amazing. Michelle Yeoh, Ke Kwan, like Jamie Lee Curtis, like they're amazing. They're so good. And that was like one of the things when I saw Swiss Army Man at the theater, they had all of the props like in glass cases at the arc light. Hollywood, and when we were doing, it's called like they take photos of the actors in their props and stuff like that so that they can use them for editorials and magazines or movie posters or anything that the film or A24 want to do with it. And when we were shooting it, I started bringing in their props, and the photographer was like, oh my gosh, keep bringing them. So I brought every prop and they photographed everything.
Wow.
And like, a lot of this stuff we're hoping might end up at the arc light in the glass case. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
go visit my babies behind a glass case. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. Also,
what else came out this year?
No, please tell us everything. I was already going
to say. Okay,
we were going to ask anyways what your upcoming projects were.
We'd love to hear what's coming.
We saw one with Florence. I already forgot.
Don't Worry, Darling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Worry, Darling.
Yep, that's that comes exciting.
That comes out in September. Hopefully. Okay. That's only in theaters. It's not going to be streaming. Okay. That was with Olivia Wilde directing.
Oh, wow.
And that was so much fun. Yeah, Harry Styles, Florence Pugh, Chris Pine.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were all great.
You worked on a movie that Olivia Wilde directed, didn't you?
No, she was just starring in it. From another day. Yeah. I was like a PA growing up in LA for like years. So, but I was like, I worked on like a film called I don't even remember the name. It was like so buried, but it was super fun. But she's like incredible. She was so sweet. That's awesome. I love that for you.
She's an amazing director. Her career, I can't wait to see the project she's going to be doing next. Like, they're amazing, and I can't wait to do them again. I would love to work on
them. And Harry Styles,
yeah. I know, it's such a weird world to work in the industry, because when we're working with actors, as much as I'm like wanting to like fangirl out with people, we have to be very professional.
Of course.
And spending like 12, 14 hours a day with people, you become really good friends. And it's almost like a safe space for an actor to come to set, because there's not like people asking for an autograph or a photograph, and they can just come and be themselves. And it's warming. So like you get to know everybody.
Who have you worked around that you were really like fangirling over?
You know,
be cool.
It hasn't happened in a while. Like when I was doing that Bermuda Tentacles movie, Linda Hamilton. Terminator 2. Terminator 2 was like one of the movies that I kind of maybe really want to make movies. And when I met her for the first time, that was like, I was like, oh my gosh, Linda, you're amazing. Oh my gosh, let me act for like 10 minutes. You won't think the same thing.
We literally,
every day
I watched all the Terminators just for fun. Like during quarantine, we watched so many movies. Oh my God. We just watched all the Terminators like a month ago.
Same here. I put a projector up in my apartment, and I just turned my home into a theater. I love going to the movies, and I love watching them. And just, you know, I always get anxiety watching them with really good props, and I'm like, how they did that, where'd they source it, who made that, or where did they get this?
Interesting. That's a good question. So like, what's a movie that's really like where the props like really blew you away?
There's probably so
they're all super good. I love Jurassic Parks, and the first one, just like the goggles like that they put on, like anything that has like it feels real. Like, it feels like nothing was like camera trickery. Like, it, it was made specifically for a film. I love that. Like, it's something that's like so hard to duplicate that you would never be able to do it. But obviously someone will probably figure out how to do it, and they always do. But like, those type of things, like, futuristic movies are really cool. And, but I don't know, even Marvel movies, I love the props from that stuff. Anything that's like, anybody that puts like high attention to detail into something and you can't tell if it's real or not, that's what really will blow me away with prop work. And there are some really good prop masters out there that love that attention to detail. And
that's awesome. I'll be
able to put that, to put my passion into that too one day.
For so, sure.
But like, period pieces, those are always good too.
I have to shout out the, I saw you posted, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw that you made those like Dare font Euphoria sweaters for the cast and crew for the wrap. Oh my God. Like, you need to sell those. Those would fly off the shelves.
I know. And it was funny when I made them, cause Z gave us swag, like Euphoria shirts. And we got one from the art department, and I guess mine was like a really big hit, and it wasn't, I just was like, I want to do something unique, because I always try to whenever I make a wrap gift for everybody, and everybody loved it. Like, I had people like scratching at the lift gate of my trailer, like, can I have one? Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, here you go. Just handing them all like candy. And then I guess there was a photo that was taken with Maude and Sydney and our one of our sound people. And she was wearing the sweater. And I guess that's where like it got like kind of started to get bigger, was from that. And I'm like, I just started Googling it one day. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are recreating this thing. It's everywhere. What the heck?
You're it's like, a good that's design. One. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, really
the, you can tell it's a real one or not, because I actually have like a Euphoria props logo on the back of the one that I made. So if there's everyone out there that doesn't have the, it's like a pill design that I did. Yeah, it's not an authentic one.
Yours is way better. So. Yeah, detailed. Yeah.
That's good to know.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, like, thank you so much. We definitely want to let you go back to work and not keep you here as much as we'd like to just drink and listen to you talk all day about movies, because we're such film and TV nerds. But we sincerely, like, so appreciate you talking with us.
Absolutely.
And can you shout out just to our listeners, like, any handles you feel comfortable on social that you'd want them to follow for all your upcoming projects that you talked about today? Or
yeah, I mean, my Instagram at Propmaster Josh, or my TikTok at Propmaster Josh, and you know, the upcoming movie March 25th, Everything Everywhere All at Once comes out. That's going to be a really fun ride. And then in September is when Don't Worry Darling comes out, starring Harry Styles and Florence Pugh. So that's another big one.
So amazing.
Awesome. Well, Josh, you are beyond so euphoric, and we thank you for being with us today. We always do a little like cheers toast. Also, we'll definitely send you a bottle as our appreciation, because we feel bad you couldn't drink with us today because you're working, but
yeah, we'd love to send you a little bottle. We're drinking Cook's champagne, because the prop master for season one made that Cal's champagne of choice when he's in the motel. And it's also our favorite champagne. So
it's become like an ongoing joke with our podcast listeners.
It's funny, the when they mirrored it, like, I don't know if you noticed, we went back into the hotel room for the last episode, I think it was, and the bottle of Cook champagne was from 2018 or whenever they filmed it. So
yes,
we had to mimic it, and they Cook's champagne actually changed their label.
I know.
So I'm like, oh my God, I'm like out in the real world trying, because so I ended up going to like a Ralph's down on like Wilshire, I think it was. Yeah, I went to every Ralph's trying to miraculously find a bottle of the Cook champagne from, they had, I don't know how long ago they changed it, but I think it was like mid-year last year.
Yeah.
And I found one. There was like a Ralph's that had all this old stock champagne way up top. And it was hard to explain, hey, I'm working on a TV show, I'm trying to find a specific bottle. But They got a ladder out, went back and started digging for it.
Oh my god.
Well, like, if you... six bottles. I'm like, yes.
That's amazing.
If you ever need any, contact us, because we drink way too much Cooks, and then we just like were busting up laughing when we saw Cal drinking it on the first season. Like you, we pay attention to detail, so we were like, oh my god, that's Cooks. We're freaking out.
Yep. Well, it's become like a joke on the podcast now. So I had like a U experience where like all season I've been running around New York trying to find like Cooks because they have like no distribution here. So I have to look for like forever to find it anywhere. And yeah, now it's all the old the new label, which is not as good.
But
the one thing it was hard to find, I guess. That was the last minute thing.
Love that.
That's really funny.
That's like the best bit we could ever ask for this podcast.
Truly.
But seriously, thank you so much. We will cheers to you, and we will definitely send you a nice bottle of Cooks on Ice.
Amazing having you. That's how you work.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Like today's episode? Great. We love that for you. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a podcast review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever the fuck you listen to us weekly. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at @so_euphoric for all the euphoria updates you could ever possibly want in your life. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out, bitches.